Well, hello there, dear reader. I am feeling kind of excited to share with you today's or this week's Sunday Quiet Letter in audio form instead of writing it out for you. It just kind of occurred to me as I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you this week that it would be fun to just tell the story verbally and give you a little bit of a chance to receive something different from me this week, and maybe, if you haven't heard my voice before, to feel a little bit more connected, just having a chance to hear my voice and listen to the way that I tell stories as you listen to read through stories in the future that I'll continue to share with you in writing. So I shared that in my letter this week, I shared that I just returned from a long weekend in California with a group of people, and we were all being trained as mentors for CenterQuest's School of Spiritual Direction, and a big portion of our weekend time together was being trained in two distinct models of group spiritual direction. So it was a group of 16 of us meeting at a retreat center in Santa Barbara, or Montecito rather, that is this very beautiful, large home on the grounds of 26 acres. And it was a group that half of us knew one another in one particular context, and the other half knew each other in a different context. And we were coming together in a way that kind of created an opportunity to get to know some new people. I only knew about maybe five people going into the weekend out of the 16. And so, and that was, you know, about the case for most of us. And so there was just this chance to have new relationships form. And what's interesting is that we were being trained in group spiritual direction, which is a pretty vulnerable setting in which people share their stories and kind of where God is for them. And then the group holds those stories and offers reflections back to the person who is sharing. And so to be with a group that mostly, you know, some of us knew each other, some of us didn't, it was just a chance to take some risks and then to discover what a beautiful thing it can be to share our hearts with those who are attentive and kind of looking at us for our good and offering what they perceive to be life and love in response to what we share. So that was the context for the weekend. And on the first night that we were sharing together in this retreat home, we had a couple hours of first being kind of going through an instructional time that was going to set us up for the next day's experiential opportunities to practice group spiritual direction with one another. And so during the training and instructional time on the first evening, we were all seated in a large circle, and the lovely woman who was leading our training time was offering, you know, some set parameters around what she wanted to share, but there was a very open spirit in which we could all kind of chime in with questions or clarifications or kind of augmentations to what she was teaching for the benefit of the group. And so I want to share kind of a story from my experience of that night, that first night, and how it created an opportunity for me to grow through the weekend with this group of people, most of whom I did not know. And the two stories I'm going to share with you include a story about frogs and then a story about plexiglass boxes. So that first night of teaching, there was a really neat energy in the room where it seemed like there was a lot of freedom, like I said, for people to kind of pipe in and ask questions or share things, share insights. And I kind of noticed during our time together that I was feeling a lot of freedom to share in that way with the group as we were learning together. There were a number of different times where I did pipe in with a question, or I did offer kind of a story that might help shed light on what we were learning together, maybe for the benefit of the group to together learn a little bit deeper by having kind of an example. And in the moment, I felt really comfortable doing that, and I felt really energized. And I felt kind of just excited to be part of the current of learning that was happening in the room at the moment. And what was interesting is that as soon as we finished that training time, we all got up from the room and walked upstairs to the second floor of the home where there was a small chapel, and we said night prayers together for about 15 minutes, and then kind of the grand silence of the evening commenced, and we all went to our rooms to go to bed. So as we were leaving that large group setting of learning that had been very invigorating and a lot of energy flowing in the room, and we processed up the stairs to go into the small chapel for the night prayers, I felt a bucket of shame wash over me. I don't know if you've ever experienced a bucket of shame washing over you before, but it does not feel good at all. It feels like just black muck kind of pouring over your head and dripping down your body, and that's how it felt for me. All of a sudden, I felt an incredible amount of shame about how much I had kind of vocalized into the group to participate during our learning time. And I felt kind of aware that I had done that more than anyone else seemed to have done that, and I began to just fret and think many mean thoughts about myself. Things like, oh, you talked too much, Christiane. You should have held back. You should have kept quiet. You should have only offered a couple things and not, you know, five or six things. And then the big thought in there was, you probably came across as a know-it-all. They probably don't want to know you anymore. They probably want you to keep your mouth shut for the rest of the weekend and not pipe up again. I mean, this was the energy of the shame that I was feeling, and I carried that with me up to the chapel, sat in the small chapel room with the rest of the group, and just sat there feeling all of this shame. And during the training time, there had been a chorus of frogs in the background. We had some of the windows and doors open in the room that was, you know, as the night wore on, that were, you know, kind of croaking in unison together, kind of creating this sense of like a chorus of frogs outside the building where we were meeting. And I felt really aware of that while we were meeting, and they were a little distracting at times, and I felt a little bit annoyed at how noisy they were and how many of them there were. But what was interesting is that when we were up in the chapel and there was, you know, this kind of 15-minute, very simple time of prayer together, I could hear outside the window of that room just one frog. And there probably were others, but I just noticed one frog, and he kept croaking repeatedly, kind of insistently, and he was going like this, rap, 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 just kind of at a very punctuated, you know, rhythmic pattern over and over again. And it just made me smile. And I thought, what is that frog? He is so cute. I loved that he was just croaking his voice, vocalizing himself into the atmosphere without any apology, without any self-consciousness. He just kept, yup, rap, 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 you know, and I just found such delight in him. And I kind of connected that to what had happened for me during the teaching time, where I had felt like I had kind of vocalized my own self into the group in spirit of, you know, spontaneity and excitement, not really self-conscious at all until after the fact, when the shame set in. And I found myself noticing that frog and smiling and wondering what it could be like to croak or chirp my own froggy voice into the world, my own Christiane voice, I should say, into the world without self-consciousness or apology. And what's interesting is that the next morning when I woke up, my roommate and I had slept with our balcony door open, and the window in the bathroom was also open, and so we could hear the sounds of the birds and the, you know, more frogs outside kind of as we woke up in the morning. And again, it was this case where I was laying in bed and I was kind of waking up to the day and hearing, you know, the chirping of these birds outside the room, and kind of just so beautiful and just giving voice to who they were, and not being self-conscious or apologetic about it. And it just felt like such an invitation for me at the moment to ask the question of whether I would allow myself to be you know, someone who chirps and isn't self-conscious about it. And I'm wondering if you have any struggle with that yourself, if you ever wonder if you chirped too much or if your chirp somehow turned other people off. And what's interesting is that during the time of group spiritual direction, we broke into small groups that we shared, you know, through both of the models that we were learning throughout the day. And in one of those times of sharing, I had a chance to present to my group, kind of be the person that was sharing and held by the group. And I had shared the story with them, and I shared it in context also of this transition moment I'm in my life professionally, where I'm stepping away from my editorial career. I'm moving more fully into my work with Still Forming and with all of you. And I was sharing with them that today was going to be the day that I officially embraced my work with Still Forming full time. And as I was sharing this with the group, what they were mirroring back to me that they noticed was that when I would talk about Still Forming and I would talk about this opportunity to work full time in my true vocation, I would light up and my body would become very animated, and I would have a lot of energy and excitement and enthusiasm surging through me. And then all of a sudden I would kind of stop myself and kind of slump back in my chair and kind of shut down and start to voice all of the concerns I have about that or the reasons why I'm not, you know, allowed to really enjoy the reality of this moment in my life. And they were kind of mirroring to me that they were noticing my body language just keep shifting back and forth from excitement and animation to slumping and kind of a loss of life. And one of the people in my groups voiced this to me and said, you know, what is it like for you to be kind of going back and forth almost ambivalently between these two energies? And I said, you know, what it feels like is it feels like I'm running full force towards this field of grass, and the sun is shining and the wind in my hair is blowing, and I feel God's pleasure and presence in the scene. And then all of a sudden, as I'm running, I am smacking into a really hard plexiglass box that I didn't realize was there. And I thought that it, because it was clear and I could see through it, I was running full force toward it, not knowing it was there. And I would just bang up against it in the midst of my running, and it would drop me back into this kind of dumbfounded, dizzy, you know, arrested place. And so they worked with me again with this kind of sense of like energy that is suddenly arrested and put in its place in a very non-life-giving way. And it was just an experience throughout the weekend with the chirping frog and the plexiglass box of this group holding my experience and mirroring to me what they were noticing, and also helping me kind of explore what that box was and what that bucket of shame was and what it might be like for me to invite God to lift that box off of me and to allow me to run free in the grass and to allow me to have a chirping or a croaking frog voice in the world without having to make apology for it or worry about what I might need to do to be more responsible or somehow take care of the concerns of the world that might not want me to be running so freely and with such joy and abandon. So that, I know, is a little bit of a long story to kind of get to the point which I'm landing at right now, and that is kind of an invitation for you to reflect on ways that you might experience something similar for yourself. Do you ever experience kind of that shifting between freedom and constraint? Energy and life and joy, and then shame and inhibition? And what would it be like to explore what it is that's creating that plexiglass box barrier that forces you back into that shame or inhibited place? Can you identify what those voices are for you? I spent some time this weekend exploring that for myself, and also exploring what it would be like to set down some of those voices and invite God to remove that barrier of that plexiglass box so that I can run more freely. And my heart for you is that you would be able to do the same. So if there's anything that you'd like to share in response to these stories and how they resonated for you or what they prompted or provoked in yourself as you heard them, I would love to hear what you have to share. So feel free to hit reply on the email and just share your response. Much love to you. Bye-bye.